not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Mr. Stephen Meltzer, who is Judge Roy Moore's lawyer. Mr. Meltzer, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you with us?
I am, sir.
Thank you so very much, and I appreciate you coming on with us. Well, what's the current status of the controversy? Last time I talked to you, there was some question that perhaps the Alabama legislature would negate the what had happened as far as this judicial hearing was concerned. Anything happened there?
No, nothing has happened before the Alabama legislature that has done anything to overturn the Court of Judiciary's ruling that Chief Justice Moore should be removed from office. What has happened most recently, and that would be yesterday, in fact, the Chief Justice has filed an appeal and also a memorandum in support of a motion to recuse. Let me deal with one, because I know your listeners probably have a little bit too much of legalese, but there, he's appealed the ruling. Chief Justice Moore has appealed the ruling of the Court of Judiciary removing him. Filed the notice of appeal. And in addition to that, Chief Justice Moore has filed a motion to recuse or to have the sitting Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court removed from hearing the appeal. It's one of the most interesting examples of corruption I've ever seen in my life going on down in Alabama right now with regard to this case. So Chief Justice Moore is pursuing his appeals options.
Well, now, Kenny, he is appealing to the Supreme Court there of Alabama at this time?
That's correct. As it happens, because the Court of Judiciary is a state entity or a state, it's a state entity created by the Constitution of the state of Alabama, then this is a state proceeding. So the appeal would be to the state Supreme Court. To convolute things, you have, Chief Justice Moore was the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. There were 8 associate justices. When Chief Justice Moore refused to obey the unlawful order of Judge Thompson, the federal district court that ruled against the display of the Ten Commandments, Chief Justice Moore, it was an unlawful order. He refused to obey it. And what happened was the other justices, the other 8 justices, orchestrated by Bill Pryor, the Attorney General, who had formerly been, technically representing Chief Justice Moore, they orchestrated a coup to remove the monument and then to set the chief up for the removal.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment, and we'll go into the background of this for our listeners so they can begin to understand the various personalities, what's involved in this, and how they are, of course, circumventing the normal judicial procedure to make an example of anybody who says the major law is the Constitution, not what a judge says it is. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. Stephen Meltzer, who is Judge Roy Moore's attorney. Now, Judge Roy Moore, as you know, was the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, who placed a monument of the Ten Commandments with other religious material on this granite monument and had it in the state Supreme Court building. And, of course, because of the ACLU and other people who really hate God, there is a conspiracy against Christianity and everything it stands for, why they brought charges against him. And a federal judge named Myron Thompson told Judge Roy Moore he was going to have to remove the judge. But the major thrust of this was a public official does not have the right to acknowledge God. Is that basically the crux of the whole argument, Stephen?
Yes, it is. It has to do with whether or not the state can acknowledge God. And as you know, this country and each state in the union has been acknowledging God from its very birth. If you look at our nation, you look at the history of our nation, clearly, I mean, there was an acknowledgement of the Judeo-Christian God. God is the foundation for this nation. If you look at the constitutions of every state in this country, you'll see an acknowledgement, right, in the preamble of the state constitutions acknowledging God. From Alabama to where I am at, Wyoming. I mean, just every state acknowledges God, has acknowledged God.
Yeah, well, actually, the Alabama Supreme Court opens with a statement, God save the state and this honorable court, just as the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. opens with the phrase, God save the United States and this honorable court.
Well, what's really strange, too, you might be interested to know, the Court of Judiciary that removed Chief Justice Moore for acknowledging God, before their proceeding started, Chief Justice Moore's attorney, Terry Butts, who represented him in that proceeding, asked the chief judge of the Court of Judiciary whether he would like to open with prayer. He did, in the name of Jesus, I believe. And, but anyway, he prayed. They started the proceedings. And then, of course, Bill Pryor, the attorney general, during those proceedings, and I have a transcript of it, he basically asked the chief justice, he said, if you were restored to your office, as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, would you continue to acknowledge God? And Chief Justice Moore said, yes, of course I will. He said, even, Bill Pryor again, even if an official told you that you couldn't do that? And Chief Justice Moore said, of course I would. Yes, I would. I would certainly acknowledge God. I'm not exaggerating this, Stan. I'm serious. This is exactly the question from Bill Pryor.
You hold that in just a moment here, and we'll be right back as we bring our other stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Stephen Melcher, who is Judge Roy Moore's, one of Judge Moore's defense teams. He's a physician. Pardon me, he's a lawyer, practices in Wyoming. And he's just telling us that William Pryor, the Attorney General of the state of Alabama, who had actually been Judge Moore's attorney, so as Judge Moore's acting attorney and the head of working with the defense team, he was violating his attorney-client privilege by bringing any charges against Judge Moore. He should have recused himself and got somebody else to do it. But this really is all about something much more devious. William Pryor was appointed to be the Attorney General by Governor Fob James of Alabama, and Governor James supported Roy Moore, and William Pryor said, gee, I support him too, and I believe he has a perfect right to violate or go against a judicial order if it's incorrect. And he even had written an article on that when he headed the Tulane Law Journal, and he gave that to Governor James and promised him that if he would appoint him Attorney General, that he would defend Judge Roy Moore. And when he became a general, Attorney General, he did do that, at least initially, didn't he, Stephen?
Yes, he did. He not only did that, he argued the same position that we were arguing, and then even more recently, I had conversations with Bill Pryor and attorneys general in the AG's office there about our strategy, about what we were doing, and of course, nothing changed significantly until President Bush appointed or nominated Bill Pryor to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
And here, then, of course, because President Bush has nominated Pryor, he wants to be a federal judge, and then the Democrats are filibustering his appointment. And so in an effort to, at least as far as we can tell, to convince everybody that he is a man totally without principles, would be an excellent federal judge, he turns on the man he's been representing to this point. He violates the promise he's made to the governor of Alabama. He sets up a kangaroo court where actually many of the people on this court are people that he's appointed to the bench or keeping on the bench. Why don't you just discuss some of the incredible things that happened during this period that shows the total disrespect for any sense of law or even common decency on the part of this man that the president has nominated to the 11th Circuit Court. Could you give that story?
I can, and I will. There's so much to it. I mean, it's a book by itself, which I'm thinking about writing, by the way. But I'll just try to touch some of the highlights. First of all, there is a relationship between Karl Rove, who's President Bush's chief advisor, and Bill Pryor, and Karl Rove has a lot of, you know, has significant contacts, political contacts in the state of Alabama. So, number one, I would anticipate that Mr. Rove has a huge part in this whole thing. Well, anyway, I'm just going to read you out of the transcript. First of all, of the Court of Judiciary Proceeding, this is where Bill Pryor asking Chief Justice Moore these questions. He says, question, Mr. Chief Justice, and your understanding is that the federal court ordered that you could not acknowledge God. Isn't that right? Answer, yes. And if you resume your duties as Chief Justice after this proceeding, you will continue to acknowledge God as you have testified that you would today? That's right. No matter what any other official says? Absolutely. See, do you see, Stan, that that's problematic in the United States of America where you're on trial for acknowledging God?
This is really all about. Can a public official acknowledge God? Well, they've done it all along. Congress of the United States opens with prayer. Senate opens with prayer. We have in God we trust on our coinage and our currency. All you need to do is read the history of the United States to understand that the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that we were a Christian nation. But only in recent years has this, and I believe it's a conspiracy against God, come to the fore and gutted the very foundation of this nation, because the people behind this understand that freedom and religion go together. You destroy freedom, you destroy religion, you destroy freedom, or as Whitaker Chambers has said, human societies, like human beings, live on faith. And when faith dies, why, human societies die. And what's going on.
Absolutely. And to just add to that, I mean, there's always a problem when God is in the equation. That is, there's accountability, that no person can do anything they want to as long as we acknowledge God and that He has some authority over us. But when we remove God from the picture, we do whatever we want to do, and we think that we can get away with it. And I think that is the reason that there's such a push to remove God. The other problem I think that we're having in our nation is that the more that we lean towards a one-world government and the internet nationalization of our Constitution, I mean, I don't know if your listeners know this, but right now, I mean, we have Justice O'Connor and Justice Breyer speaking publicly, touring publicly without shame, talking about how important it is to use international law to interpret the United States Constitution.
And these are people who have sworn to uphold our Constitution, and they're then publicly violating their oath. And where is the cry for impeachment? These people aren't fit to sit on the bench.
Yes, and where's the cry from the president who's sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution? I mean, his oath is written in the actual Constitution to defend the Constitution, and of course he's the leader of our armed forces, who take pledges to defend the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies. And I'm just, you know, I think we have to just realize that we are living at a time where we have this unfortunate opportunity to watch the demise of a great nation.
But it doesn't have to happen. It's only happening because the church refuses to speak out. The church is so busy worrying about church growth that they really could care less about what happens to our nation. And the idea is it's all in God's hands, and if it's all in God's hands, then why do they, of course, bother to take out a life insurance or a car insurance or health insurance policy? It's ultimate in hypocrisy.
They
neutralize the church. Christians are supposed to be here. We're supposed to be warning others what's going on. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be involved. And Christians have foregone their responsibility, and I think an awful lot of people are going to be awfully surprised when they stand before the throne of before the judgment seat, and they hear a voice that says, "I never knew you."
Well, God have mercy on each one of us, Stan, because I certainly don't want to be in that position, and I just I have to say that I know that you're a stalwart champion of truth, and I want to be doing the right thing, and I certainly believe that God has not called Christians to be silent, but to speak the truth. Now, if we're speaking the truth and we're getting major setbacks, we still need to speak the truth, and we need to be even more bold in the presentation of truth. That's what we're called to do, and I know Chief Justice Moore has done that. One of the things, Stan, that is just one of the most the only way I can think of to describe this right now. Gross examples of moral cowardism, and that is, or cowardness, is Bill Pryor standing before the Senate Judiciary Committee testifying on the, you know, the nomination to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And this is the kind of thinking, I bring up this example because this is the kind of thinking that's very common among Christian people, not to mention, you know, secular folks, but Christian people. And Bill Pryor claims to be a Christian man. He says to the Court of Judiciary, or they said to him, Bill Pryor, you know, you're a man of faith, you've spoken out publicly that you believe Roe versus Wade is an abomination of the Constitution, that Roe versus Wade is responsible for the slaughter of millions and millions of innocent human lives. You said that, didn't you? Bill Pryor says, yes, absolutely. Well, how do we know that if you're on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that you're not, you know, how do we know that you're, what are you going to do with Roe versus Wade? And he says this, and your listeners can go on the internet and they can pull this transcript up to verify what I'm saying. He says, yeah, I do believe that Roe versus Wade is an abomination of the Constitution. Yes, I do believe Roe versus Wade has led to the slaughter of millions and millions of innocent human lives. But if appointed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, I will uphold the law as the Supreme Court said it is. He said that in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He said that in front of his wife and his two daughters, lovely daughters, sitting there in the courtroom listening to this. If I was on the Court of Judiciary, I mean, I don't care where you stand on the issue of abortion, I would have thrown him out of the room for having not having a mind that can think logically anyway, because the total abomination of what he said, I believe it's murder. I believe it's sick, gross murder. And yet, if you appoint me, I'll go ahead and do it because you told me, because five people on the Supreme Court have told me that's the law of the land, in spite of his oath of office to defend the Constitution. It's absolutely horrendous.
Well, I think where we have real problems is we have people on the Supreme Court who don't believe in the Constitution. I believe that they're there to undermine the very fabric of our society, and I think they're doing a great job of it, and I think it's about time people understood that there is an agenda, and it has been working for a long time to make sure we would always have a majority on the Supreme Court who hated God, who were determined to undermine our Constitution and centralize all power in Washington, D.C., doing away with those concepts of checks and balances and balance of power that once made America the envy of the world as we move towards freedom, or from freedom towards feudalism. And I think that the Christians must understand that the ultimate law of this land is not what the judges say. It is not even the Constitution. It's God's law. But the Constitution is as close as we have to that at the present time. The Constitution is the ultimate law, not the judges.
Well, our founders recognized that the Constitution was not above the laws of God, above the laws of nature's God, you know. And so, as we know in the Declaration, we refer to the laws of nature and of nature's God. And so clearly, our founders believed that there would be no law. I mean, they founded a Constitution based upon God, and that no law could be contrary to the laws of God. Stan, one of the major problems that we have in our country today is that we, as Christians and as citizens, do not hold accountable our congressional representatives to protect us and to represent us. They simply have given the power away to the Supreme Court.
Well, I'm sort of reminded what of Alexander Solzhenitsyn said when asked, what happened to Russia? Why did you go communist? And he said, our people forgot God. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Stephen Melcher here at Radio Liberty. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention a couple of great new videos we are carrying. One of them is called Diapraxis. It's the story of the church growth movement that is sweeping America. 4,000 churches are going into this today. 15,000 will be going in next time. And people say, what's wrong with this? It's got to bring a lot of people to the Lord. But I would ask you, are you absolutely certain? Do you know anything about who came up with this idea, this management technique that came from the corporate world? And what's church management have to do with corporate management? Well, it's all about manipulating individuals, and that's the whole purpose of what's going on, is manipulation and certain psychological techniques that are used, were developed in the prison camps in Korea, the group think. And, of course, it's been developed by Tavistock, how you can change people's concept of God. So at least get this video and watch it. You may agree or may disagree. I think it's very important. It's called Diaprax. Call 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the video, watch it, and then get your minister and your friends to watch this before this movement destroys the very Christian foundation of our society. And then, of course, we have another great new video. It's called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. It's the most professionally done video I've ever seen on the occult background behind the move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. That's Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. Both of these are available through Radio Liberty. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order one or both of these. We also hope that many of you will want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, if you haven't already read it, because it will help to tie together an understanding of all of the various organizations which are working behind the scenes to undermine the Christian foundation of this once great nation. And you have to understand, everything that is going on today has been planned long ago. Some people call it sustainable development. Some people call it globalism. We have four tapes set on both of those subjects. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Stephen Melcher, and we're talking about what's happening as far as Judge Roy Moore is concerned, and certainly he is on the front line of this battle, and he's put himself into a very, very difficult position. He's without an income now, but he did what he did because he wanted to actually, I think, to draw attention to the fact that we have people within our government who are really against the Ten Commandments, are anti-Christian, and they believe it is unconstitutional, or they will try to convince us it is unconstitutional for a public official to acknowledge God. That is what this whole issue is about. Forget about the monument. If you read what Judge Moore said in his article in the Wall Street Journal, August 25th of this year, the issue is not the monument. The issue is not politics. The issue is, can a public official acknowledge God? Because he doesn't say it, but I believe there's a conspiracy against God. Don't you, Stephen?
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a conspiracy against God, unless you're talking about the conspiracy that the evil one has been plotting since as long as I can remember the Bible. You know, as far as the Bible goes back and talks about what Satan is up to, I mean, that's the conspiracy.
I believe you're absolutely right, but I believe that, I believe that there is a logical explanation for what's going on now, and you're not going to find it, you know.
You're not going to. The fact of the matter, there's sin in the world, and that Satan has been against God from a long time ago, and it's still happening, and he's got a lot of people with him in this country and in this world. But I keep reminding myself, Dr. Stan, that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, and I remind myself of that as we fight on in these battles. I think one of the things that's become just very, very clear in my mind. And as I've been trying to put all this together, this, as you call the conspiracy against God, as I call just this theophobic, this godophobic epidemic that's going on in our world. And I'm not talking about the fear of God, as you know. I'm talking about the people who just can't stand God. What's happening, I think, is that you have, as we move towards a one-world government, and as we talk about the internationalization of our Constitution and everything else, do you realize that as long as we have this, as long as we have Christians around, as long as we have this very strong nation, United States of America, that has a Christian underpinning, as long as we have that, that's a real impasse towards moving towards one-world government, because we as Christians at least should not be willing to give up God very easily. And so as I see what the courts are doing, they're just removing God. They're just when we talk about removing any vestige or acknowledgement of God from our country, that's exactly what's going on, because you can't have the Judeo-Christian God in a one-world government. Can't do it. Can't do it as long because this God, our Jesus Christ, is the one true God. And despite what President Bush says about our God being the same God as the, you know, as Islam and everything else, which is in error, it is absolutely in error. As long as you have a group of people who says, no, our God is the one true God, our God is the only way to salvation, our God is the only Savior and the only King, that creates a huge problem for one world government. Dr. Stan, do you agree?
Well, I agree with you totally. In fact, we have things that are put out over the name of Marie Strong and Gorbachev off their website on the Earth Charter, where they say that, the big impediment to establishing this wonderful world government are the fundamentalists, the Muslims and Jews and the Christians, who are pulled fundamental beliefs. And so we'll have to identify them and exterminate them. That's identify and exterminate. Anybody would like to see the pages? They've taken it down off the website, but fortunately we got them, got copies of it. It's available through Radio Liberty. What are they talking about, exterminate? I think they know exactly. They just don't want the Christians to understand. And of course, what is a multi-billionaire like Marie Strong doing working with a communist like Mikhail Gorbachev? Or maybe nothing, that as we look at it, as it would appear to be. And these people are really working towards this new world order, and they hate Christianity and everything it stands for. And yet, of course, Gorbachev has been given free access, or through the Presidio. You and I couldn't get up to the Presidio and get offices there, but Mikhail Gorbachev, the former butcher of Afghanistan, the former dictator of Russia, the former head of the Soviet KGB, why, he's free to roam around the Presidio and have offices there. And there's something wrong with what's going on today. And I think you have to understand, whether we call it this conspiracy or whether we call it an organized, orchestrated effort to undermine Christianity. I think they're doing a pretty good job. And they're even changing the nature of God from a God of justice and judgment and love, and a God of wrath, and just to a God of love like Santa Claus. He loves everybody, and there's no punishment for sin, because, after all, nothing is really sin, because we can do whatever we want to, because God loves us. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited. They had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention we carry the Miracle-2 soap products. We can't make any medical claims for them. All we can tell you is that many of the people who use Miracle-2 products give us wonderful stories about how it helps other rashes or their acne or their digestive tract if they take the neutralizer. And I will tell you, I've used the gel if you get a burn or something like that. It certainly seems to help take the sting out of it. And I use the moisturizing soap because it really does moisturize your skin and gives it a whole different consistency. But all we can do is suggest if you'd like to try an introductory offer to the Miracle 2 soap products, which we've used now, I guess, a couple of years, and I think both my wife and myself are really sold on them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Miracle 2 soap products. And then we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to getting a Phenopoly set for your children or grandchildren or perhaps even for yourself. A key to understanding, a key to learning is reading. And unfortunately, many of our children going to government schools have been deliberately dumbed down so they can't spell and they can't sound out words. And this is part of a dumbing down process. After all, you don't want very smart people if you're going to have a new world order. They might not want to go along with the agenda of the elite. So if you'd like to know more about Phenopoly, you go to our webpage at radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. But I'll tell you, it's a great program. It's 5 board games. You play the game like Monopoly. It's loads of fun, but in the process, you learn to sound out words. And most of these programs cost $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95. It's $139.95. It's a great program, and we certainly encourage you to seriously consider getting a Phenopoly set. Call 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Stephen Melcher, and we're talking about Judge Roy Moore. And Stephen has been working very closely with Judge Roy Moore. Is there any sort of a website? Is there any sort of a fund? I know that his legal expenses must be really running up there.
Well, he has. There's a lot of different attorneys doing a lot of different things in his case. And, of course, I've been representing him since 1996. And then, of course, with the Supreme Court of the United States not hearing our petition for cert, then, you know, we kind of the three attorneys that were working with him on this case all these years, we've kind of stepped back, and some other attorneys are filing the appeals with regard to court or judiciary stuff. But anyway, answer your question. If you go on line to morallaw.org, morallaw.org, that would be the website for the Foundation for Moral Law, which has been set up as the fundraising entity for defending the Moral Foundation of Law. And as I say, you can get that at morallaw.org.
All right, fine. Now, where can we get details? If people really want to get the details, perhaps even get a transcript of that material that you were putting out, where William Pryor keeps asking, he asks three times, if you were returned to your position, would you continue to acknowledge God? And each time Judge Roy Moore said, I would have to, because this is what I believe. And, of course, that was the basis of his being disbarred. Now, what sort of madness is this, and why aren't you hearing about that from Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw? Because they wouldn't allow any television cameras in the room. They didn't want the people to know what it was all about. They just wanted to give the impression that Judge Moore was a lawbreaker. And this was really about, does the federal government have the right to tell a state official that he cannot publicly acknowledge God? That's what it was all about. Isn't it amazing? You're not going to hear about that in your local newspaper.
You're not going to hear about it. You're also not going to hear about the level of corruption that is occurring down in the state of Alabama. It's, throughout history, we see and read that that whenever you start getting on the fringes of the power base and you start taking shots at that and really start making some headway, it gets really ugly and dirty, and that's what's happened here. We have called into question, legitimately so, the power of the federal courts. Federal courts don't have the authority under the Constitution to do what they've been doing, and yet they do it anyway, and we've called into question. 77% of the people in the United States, according to a Gallup poll, understand what's going on, and they're mad. And so what do you do? If you don't like the message, you take out the messenger. We know that. That's what happened to Jesus Christ and by God's sovereignty. So here in the court of with this court of judiciary, there was a specific ruling, notwithstanding the fact that the Constitution of Alabama said that whenever the court of judiciary would hold a hearing to remove a judge, that it had to be a public hearing. The court of the judiciary nevertheless would not allow television cameras or any recording devices to record this proceeding, so that the people of Alabama who elected Chief Justice Moore by well over 60%, they were not allowed to see the actual trial that removed him.
Now, how could they keep them from being at least recorded? I mean, what were they? Were they trying to hide something?
Well, absolutely. They did say, the Court of Judiciary, of course they were trying to hide something. They were trying to hide what I just read you out of the transcript.
Right.
That we now have, and this is really interesting. Now, there was a transcript, of course, because there was a reporter there. There was a reporter there. But as this was happening, as this event was happening, the Court of Judiciary officially ruled, because there were motions that were filed to allow this thing to be public and for television cameras to come in and actually, so the citizens of Alabama, those who elected the chief, could see what was happening. They denied the motion. However, they absolutely would not allow these cameras to be in there. Well, what ended up happening is that the Court of Judiciary said, so we're not going to let the proceedings be televised or taped, but we will allow our ruling to be televised and taped. So, and that's exactly what they did. I was there before the Court of Judiciary when they read the ruling, 9-0, saying the Chief Justice must be removed from office. And they did allow that. We later found out that the Court of Judiciary, even though they had ruled that there would be no tape or, no televised, broadcast of the proceedings or tape, we then found out that the court had secretly given the Alabama Supreme Court library historian permission to film the event for historical purposes, but again, after the fact, so that the citizens of Alabama could be kept from knowing what happened.
So all sorts of skullduggery is going on behind the scenes, because this is really so important. If the American people really understood that there is an organized effort to prevent expression of religious beliefs, because if you can keep a public official from expressing the belief in God, why not, of course, everybody in our society? We can't. Our children, our little kids, can't go to school today and pass out, Bible tracts. They can't even talk about God in school today. And when they do, many times they're attacked and vilified and demonized and humiliated. And certainly in our classes, all they do is teach them about evolution, which, of course, teaches them that the Bible is wrong. This is an organized effort to remove the religious foundation of America, because our foundation is built upon a belief in God.
Christians, even some of our Christian friends that fight these legal battles on a daily basis seem to be content with this notion that, we shouldn't be complaining as Christians. We shouldn't be complaining if the Supreme Court and other federal courts give us a little corner in the closet to exercise our faith. They're defining the parameters that where we can enact out our faith. But one thing is absolutely certain, and that is we can't exercise our faith publicly. And clearly, if you're a public official, and as Chief Justice Moore was, and I say that in the past tense because he was removed, he clearly is not able to acknowledge God publicly, notwithstanding the Constitution of the State of Alabama, which does acknowledge God as the basis for its judicial system. And then further, you have elected state officials who are sworn to uphold the Constitution, not only of the state but of the nation, who have just absolutely bowed down to the judicial branch of government as though it were God. And I say that I don't mince words in saying that. They bow down to these people. They pledge their allegiance to the courts, to the judges that wear the robes, these unelected people who are appointed for life, and instead of acknowledging God, which is a is a scary thought.
Well, the thing is that this is judicial activism. Instead of amending the Constitution with their legal ways to do it, they never get the American people to go along with amending the Constitution so that we would outlaw God as far as public officials is concerned. So by judicial activism, by trickery and by deceit, we have judges who are not answerable to God. They're not answerable to anybody other than their desire to destroy the Christian foundation of this country, and we let them get away with it, and our religious leaders let them get away with it, and Mr. Land, who from the Southern Baptist Association, their ethics department, and Jay Sekulow, who is, of course, with the American Institute for Law and Justice, Pat Robertson's group, come out and criticize Judge Moore, and, of course, why should we be surprised? Both the right and the left sides of the political spectrum, everybody criticizes Judge Roy Moore. Even our local newspaper writes editorials on why he was wrong. Why was he wrong? Why? Because he was going by our Constitution, and he wouldn't go along with a judge who would be given the power of God to violate his oath. And this is exactly what happened in Hitler's Germany. And they said it was legal. What was wrong with putting Jews in concentration camps and killing them? It was perfectly legal according to the government's law. Well, there is a higher law, and if we don't adhere to that now, there may come a time when we won't be able to adhere to it. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. Question?
Yeah, question, please, Dr. Stanforth. With conservatives like that, who needs enemas, right?
Well, I think that's a little, that's not a very nice thing to be
saying.
Yeah,
that's
right. Thank you. All right, fine. We're not going to put on things like that on our program. So we've got Doug calling in from Florida. And if Doug has a question, if you'll just screen him right on through here, and we'll be glad to let him ask the question. So, Doug, how are you doing?
Okay, fine. I had a question. I was heard you talking about, I've been doing a little bit of studying and on the 14th Amendment, and I heard you mention something about the that it was legal for Judge Roy Moore to do what he did because of what the Constitution says. I'd like him to clear up a little bit because of what the 14th Amendment says about protecting the states or forbidding the states from violating the Bill of Rights at all.
Where does it say that in the 14th Amendment?
It's in the first section.
What does
it say? It doesn't say that specifically.
It doesn't say that at all. In fact, when they passed the 14th Amendment, they never intended to put the twist on it that you're putting on it. Exactly what the people who would destroy our society are doing. This wasn't accepted until about 1920. You're Sir Stephen. You know the law. When did they begin to distort that and try to make the 14th Amendment apply to the states?
Well, in the case of Campbell versus Connecticut, but
what year was that?
Oh, that would be in the 40s, I believe. I don't remember the exact date of that, but I think I'm not sure exactly what your listener, if he's fully developed his question, and I would like to hear it if I could.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get Dr. Stan to let me do. I don't fully understand this question yet, and that's why I'm calling. In reading it, reading through the commentary that's on the government archives, you know, of the has the annotations of the Constitution. Also, on fine law, has the same thing, and they develop this argument, or with a lot of court cases, of applying the 14th Amendment using the I can't remember the clause now.
I think
the
I
first
understand.
Section. Excuse me.
Let me go ahead and see if I can articulate your question for you, because I think I know what it is. Basically, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress, you know, everybody, we will say, well, Congress, you know, can't make any law. Well, the states aren't Congress. And they say, well, wait a second, the 14th Amendment applies to the states by and through the 14th Amendment. That's what you're basically saying.
Yes, that's what I've been reading.
Yeah, well, you get that out of case law. The Supreme Court said that. That's called the Incorporation Doctrine. The Incorporation Doctrine, that is, incorporating the First Amendment of the United States Constitution into the states. Let me just tell you this. Let me respond by saying this. First of all, the First Amendment was never intended it was never intended to make it illegal in our country or unconstitutional to acknowledge God. It was never intended. In fact, the First Amendment, if anything, it was to acknowledge God. There would not be a First Amendment if there wasn't an effort to try to acknowledge God and make that a right of the people. Secondly, you must understand, I'm just, for the purposes of this question, we don't have time to debate this, but I'll just concede this to you. Let's just concede for a moment that the 14th Amendment governs, you know, the states as well. That is, the states can't pass a law respecting the establishment of religion either. Tell me how a display of the Ten Commandments or an acknowledgement of God is making a law respecting an establishment of religion. Chief Justice Moore, in his display of the Ten Commandments, there wasn't the force of arms of the state of Alabama saying they're going to throw people in jail if they don't obey every one of the Ten Commandments the way the state wants them to do it. There was no law. There was absolutely no law passed not only by Congress, but by the state of Alabama, the Chief Justice Moore, the Alabama legislature. There was no law, and there was no law respecting an establishment of religion. It was simply an acknowledgement of God. And that was held by the federal courts to be unconstitutional. Why? Because a judge wearing a black robe, sitting on his throne, said, this is the way it is, and we let this tyrant do it. That's the problem. We let the tyrant do it, and we didn't say anything about it. In this case, Chief Justice Moore did say something about it, and as a result of that, they said, off with your head, and everybody scurried around and did it. Off with his head. That's what they've done. So the problem is gutless Congress, gutless president, gutless Christians, but not a gutless Chief Justice Roy Moore.
And I think, Doug, you have to understand that when they passed the 14th Amendment, they never meant to bring the Bill of Rights under the control of the to apply to the states. They were talking about slavery. But it took them from about 1870 up until 1940 to be able to twist and distort this, because, you see, they really want to put those restrictions on the state because their ultimate goal is to outlaw God. Do you know what sophistry is? It's the point of arguing a false point to the point where people come to believe it. And obviously, you've been reading their material for too long.
No. Obviously, nothing, Dr. Stan. I am fully behind everything you do, but I am also an investigator in my own right, and search through and try to read all sides so that I can understand something fully. I would suggest possibly that if you might get a little bit of feel for what I've been going with. It's not their stuff. It's on Constitution.org website, where they talk about the Second Amendment, and they talk about some of the history of the debates that were going on in Congress in there about the Second Amendment, which kind of reflects on the First Amendment. I'm just trying to get a good solid footing for the 14th Amendment, because that has been solely left out of the discussion.
It has been, and also it has been. But I'm saying I think you get an overload perhaps of the propaganda with regard to the 14th Amendment. I think what you ought to do is look at, and I'm inviting you to do this, to go on and look for under the heading of selective incorporation. And you might see that the First Amendment, even if you did buy the incorporation doctrine of the 14th Amendment, when it comes to the First Amendment was certainly not, never, ever intended to be incorporated within the 14th Amendment, if there was such a thing that happened, because it was unique. The First Amendment is so unique among the other amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, I should say, and so that would be a great place for you to go and look.
Selective incorporation, where would I find this?
Selective incorporation doctrine, just do a search on it.
Okay.
And if you want to, you can also contact John Eidsmo, E-I-D-S-M-O-E, who has written extensively on that particular doctrine.
Okay.
Doctrine of Selective Incorporation.
And where can I find your the appeal that you just recently written? I was trying to find that on the Vision Forum and could not find it there, and I couldn't find it on... Go ahead.
Let me just say, Vision Forum is a great place to find things about the case. If you go to morallaw.org...
I went there.
And
I couldn't find that appeal.
Let's see. You can go to the... If you want to find the appeal, I think the U.S. Supreme Court, that's where we filed our appeal. It's a historic document. I thought Vision Forum was actually posted.
The one that you just recently filed?
Oh, the one, the notice of appeal. Now, the notice of appeal with regard to the Court of Judiciary, that's just like a one-page document. The briefs are not in on that. But you can find on the, I believe, on the morallaw.org website, you can find the memorandum filed by Chief Justice Moore regarding Gorman Houston's recusal. Gorman Houston is the Chief Justice. But as far as the actual appeal, no, there's just been a notice of appeal, and then, of course, there'll be a briefing schedule.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
We're out of time, and thank you, Doug, and thank you so much for being with us, Stephen. I really appreciate you taking the time, because I know how busy you are at the present time. Is there anything you'd like to say in parting?
Well, I'd like to say, Dr. Stan, I've always appreciated you and your attempt to try to speak the truth. I just wanted to ask your viewers if they would just have the guts enough to contact their congressmen and women senators and tell them as a litmus test, make it known that unless they want to uphold the Constitution as they were sworn to do, you're going to vote them out of office, and ask them to support legislation that restricts the Article 3 powers of the federal judiciary so we can bring these people back into check.
Bye-bye, and thanks very much.
Bye-bye, sir.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we do carry the Big Berkey products, and if you're interested in getting a Big Berkey water filter or a Berkey Life water filter, they're both available through our ministry. The Big Berkey, it costs $239.95. It's all stainless steel. It's got ceramic filters packed with activated charcoal. You put a couple of gallons of water in the top, it comes out the bottom. Does a great job of filtering. You can take pool or pond or river or water and put it through there, and it'll come out very potable. As they say, it's $239.95 plus $10 shipping, and it's available in every state except for California and Iowa. If you want to get one something in California, you have to get a Berkey Light, which is made of Lexan. It's transparent, so you can see the water level. The filters are different. They're called a black Berkey filter. They really do a much better job than the other filters do, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. However, the Big Berkey is only $199.95 plus $10 shipping. You buy either one through our Radio Liberty, you get a free video, or you get a free four-tape set. It's one that we have actually produced, and we'd be glad to get that for you. You can see these up on our website at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. I'm sorry, at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can see the pictures of them up there, and you can read about the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light water filters. And then, of course, we mentioned that we do carry Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. It's a 22 CDs with a curriculum that will take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. That's described up there on their web as well. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I want to mention to our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that if you're out there in the listening audience, you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. If you'd like to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one. Our latest newsletter, our December newsletter, which should be out in a week, is the story of Judge Roy Moore and, of course, why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, the things you're never going to hear from any other source, and what's going on today is part of a long-range plan to destroy the Christian heritage of America and convert us from a Christian republic into a secular democratic society. And of course, under democracy, why you can always take away people's freedom, because after all, the people vote to do something, they vote in people into office, whatever those people do is perfectly all right. There are no restrictions placed upon what government can do. And remember, our elected representatives, well, most of them are for sale. And in Washington, D.C. today, we have many of the finest politicians money can buy, but they were democratically elected. under a republic, even if the Congress wants to do the wrong things, they can't, because we have the chains of the Constitution on the centralized authority. Well, they've taken this chains off of the federal officials and off of our federal government, and of course they're forging them for the people. As we move from freedom towards fascism, towards a feudalistic society, and you better understand what's happening, and you better understand the relationship between religion and freedom, and destroy religion. Why you destroy freedom. And that's what the whole saga of Roy Moore is all about. If you'd like a free copy of that newsletter on Judge Roy Moore, it's the December letter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website and look at the various items we have there. We hope that many of you will want to get a Phonopoly set for your children or grandchildren so that they can read and spell and of course, learn to pronounce words phonetically. And the Phonopoly sets basically cost $139.95. Most of the programs are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is inexpensive, but in 16 hours, it'll do the trick for you. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and get yourself a Phonopoly set, or get it for your children, or get it for your grandchildren. And then we do hope that many of you will go out to our website, which is www.radioliberty.com. And there you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. You can pull down our archive programs. You can pull down my newsletters, which go back into the late 1990s, and read them and study them, and, of course, check out the references to make sure what we're saying is the truth. And then encourage others to go to our website and get the information. And your job would be to try to get at least one person a day, at least to begin to question what's going on. Get them to listen to our radio programs, to go to our website and listen to the archive programs. If there's a question, why, you can always get the documentation from Radio Liberty. We have it all. And we want you to be able to be certain that the information we're putting out is accurate. And then if you agree with us that we are involved in a epic struggle to determine whether this nation, a Christian nation, can long exist as a free society. We hope many of you will join us in this effort to educate the American people, because that's what we do, 5 hours every day. Lastly, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, do you really believe that God will ever again bless this nation? We ask you to pray for revival, because certainly if we don't have revival again, why, we're going to continue down the same path we have. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.